Well, welcome here to our Bible study here going for the next 6 weeks. So this week plus five more. And it's our Keys for Living. So this is an outgrowth of our Fort Hood Bible study that we did. And some of the topics we're going to be going over the next 6 weeks. I did for 1 to 2 weeks over on post. But tonight we're going to just begin an introduction to kind of segue into what we're talking about tonight, and we're going to be looking at Psalm 11. I do have a couple of Bibles up here, if anybody needs one. Yes, these are like, okay, need one there? Okay. Anybody need a Bible? Anybody need one? All right, everyone got one? Good, good. You can have one too. Rhonda? No. That's what it says in the Bible. Anyway, it was a joke. You can laugh. Okay. Have a couple of Bibles. Anybody else need a Bible? We do have some in the other building. Anybody else need one? Okay, good. All right, so we're in Psalm 11, and so we're going to begin here. And as an introduction, we're going to be looking at misconceptions about the Christian home. Misconceptions about the Christian home. Right here is, wait a minute. This right here, I was looking at this. That does look familiar, and I was looking at one of my sermons in. Actually, yes, it's actually one of my notebooks here. So if you, during this six-week study, next week I'm going to have a handout, but if you want to get one of these, we're not going to be having as many written down, like points in this as much, but I am going to have a handout probably next week. But if you want to take notes, I do have one of those there. But we're going to get started in Psalm 11. Now, Psalm 11 is very short. It is only 7 verses long. Psalm 11 is only 7 verses long, but it illustrates a really important point about what's going on today and what the devil's plan is for each and every home in America, each and every home in the world. This is what the devil wants to do. And right here in Psalm 11, verse number 1, "In the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For lo, the wicked," now this is important, "for the wicked bend their bow." Now, how many are familiar with archery, a bow and arrow? So bend the bow merely means that they're pulling it back and getting ready. Okay, so this is really important. "For lo, the wicked bend their bow, they make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart." Verse 3, "If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do?" Now, we're more familiar with verse number 3. "If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do?" And right here, the devil shoots arrows at the family. It's no secret that the family is under attack. We know the definition of marriage is under attack. We know that the family unit itself is under attack. You have a lot of unhealthy family dynamics presented in media and entertainment today. So I'm going to illustrate this right here. So we moved over here because I've got a whiteboard. I'll use this every once in a while. But let's just, when we think of a house, you know, we think of a house that's got a roof, you know, here. And I'm not a very good drawer, just letting you know. But here we go over here. So this has a little bit of a ledge on it, you know. But we have a house, okay. And it has the front door, okay. I don't have a paint-by-numbers thing over here, so. Okay, you got the windows, but we can see a house, and we can have two houses identical to one another, okay? This one doesn't have the ledge on it, okay? But right here, it has a door. You know, it's got two windows, right? And so for sake of illustration tonight, this is the home. Now, there are two different homes. This one's a little bigger than that one, but you know, that's illustrating your mind when you think of the Christian home versus the world's home. God's home versus what the devil wants in your house. And each home is, the basis of it is essential. Because you can go out here and you can look at houses around here. Now, you may see a house built in 2011, 3,000 square feet. You look at the pictures, it looks wonderful online. And they're selling it for only $75,000. Like, wow, that is a house I want. But you know what? When you start looking at it, you know, when I see something, what's wrong with it? You know, what's wrong with it? And 9 times out of 10, you know what's wrong with it? Has a foundation problem. And has a crack in it, or it's sagging in a corner. Literally, I've seen one house, it was starting to tilt in the back corner because the foundation wasn't properly laid. The foundation, the ground wasn't properly done. The drainage wasn't done correctly. And you know what? These houses may look the same. They may even both call themselves a Christian home. But one has a proper foundation. Okay? A good, strong foundation underneath. And a foundation, now a lot around here, you see a lot of slabs like you have here. But if you go back a little bit, even if you go back to where I'm from, as each, the foundation, you usually have a basement down here, but it has bricks, concrete cinder blocks, and they're built one upon the other, upon the other, upon the other. But I was part of a building project, and they were going to build this foundation for this building. And another time, we were building like a shed, and we're putting a foundation down, and we had dug the trench where we're going to put that cinder block. And my dad, he put that cornerstone in. And he put that in there, and we spent an entire day making sure that block was level, making sure that it was perfectly level. I said, Dad, what's the big deal about this? He goes, if we mess up this, it'll affect the entire foundation. The entire building will be crooked. Now, Isaiah 28, verse number 10, tells us something. Isaiah 28. Now, this is the purpose of why we're going to be studying this tonight. And this is how you begin to build a Christian home. You build it from the foundation up. Now, right here in Isaiah chapter 28, in verse number 10, is a very important verse. For precept must be upon precept, line upon line. So for precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. Building one block at a time, a foundation. And now the foundation that we can have, there's so many foundation materials to choose from today. I mean, you can choose from your common variety psychology today. You can go to your favorite author. You can go to Raising Children or Having a Home for Dummies, whatever it may be. Or you can go to the Word of God. And this is the foundation that we need to have, is based upon the Word of God. And tonight, we're going to be going through a journey through God's Word and what it says about our homes. And the fight is on America to destroy this foundation. But if we build line upon line, and take each and every precept that we're going to learn here during the next 6 weeks, and begin to build that foundation. Now, some of you may have a Christian home for many years, and some of these things are going to not be new to you. But some of these areas, they might need shoring up. We all need that. I know I do. And so tonight, we're going to begin here. So we're going to look about some misconceptions about the Christian home. And if the foundation of the home is destroyed, what can the righteous do? Okay, we're back at Psalm 11. We're going to continue reading the last several verses. The Lord is in His holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, His eyelids try the children of men. I mean, He sees everything. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked in him that loveth violence his soul hateth. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and a horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright. And some of my people say today, I said, Pastor, you understand, it's so hard to raise a family in today's world. It is. But it's impossible to raise a child that loves God. It's impossible to keep them protected from all the things in the world. I understand it's not possible to protect them from everything, but we can sure protect them from a lot more than we think we can. And there's a lot of things that we're going to have to take a stand for, that we're going to have to look a little different for, and people are even going to call us maybe a little weird. Because we're doing what the Bible says. The world has never been a friend to what the Bible says or what God has to say. So, number one tonight, here's a misconception about the Christian home. Number one is that first-generation Christians cannot have a Christian home. I heard people tell me this one time. And I said, well, you know what? I haven't grown up with the background. I haven't grown up in the Christian home. And I don't understand all of this. You know, I just can't have the Christian home that I need to have. I just don't have the background. And these are people that get saved later in their life after they have children, after they have a job, after they have made some life decisions. And there is a misconception out there, and this is a great disservice to people that have just gotten saved, that there's a misconception that these people won't be as dedicated to God for some reason. I don't know where this idea comes from, but it's not from the Bible. That people that are newly saved and they want to live for God and have a Christian home, that they many times are more dedicated in having a Christian home than those who are second and third generation Christians. You know, one of the great preachers that I think that a lot of us know about and a lot of us have met, how many have ever met Mike Allison or heard Mike Allison preach? He is a first generation Christian. He was saved when he was almost 30 years old, or in his early 20s. He had one child. He had grew up in a drunkard's home. He did not grow up in a Christian home. He didn't know anything about the Bible. He went to church because he wanted to play on the church's softball team. And he went to church when he was 22 years old, and he got saved. He was already married, already had one child, and then his wife got saved. And then he decided that he was going to have a Christian home. And he had to make some decisions about what he was going to do. And he had to learn how to tithe. And God called him to preach. And we know the rest. But some people, and he actually heard him say this. I said, some people say it's harder for a first generation Christian to have a Christian home. He says, I think it's easier. Because it's harder for sometimes second and third generation Christians to have a good godly home. Why is that? No doubt it's harder to change things, but it's not impossible. Look at John chapter 3 and verse number 3. John chapter 3 and verse number 3. When someone gets born again, when someone gets saved, there's a change that happens inside of a person. And that person goes to every single area of their life. Not just some areas, but it goes to every area. And John chapter 3, verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Born again. We're born once physically, but every single person needs a second birth, a spiritual birth, salvation through Jesus Christ. When a person gets born again, they begin to see things with spiritual eyes. They now have the enlightenment of the Holy Spirit of God, and they know that things need to change. Someone who really gets saved, they know something's got to change. They know something's got to be different. They know that maybe the way they've been doing things at home and doing things in their marriage, doing things at their job, doing things in their life, hey, things are going to change now that I know Jesus Christ as my Savior. 2 Corinthians 5:17. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And so today, as there are so many people, they get saved. And sometimes we who have maybe grown up in church or grown up going to church and things like that, someone, they've gone down the path of sin and they're in a terrible situation and they get saved and then we have some doubts of whether they can find their way back or not. That's doing them a great disservice because God can change a life. Because God can change a life. So don't believe this misconception. The trouble is that many times they don't know what to change or how to change it. But that's where discipleship comes in. That's where our responsibility comes in. But if you've looked at the Christian home, I'm talking about not necessarily what we see here in conservative churches, but the average Christian home in America today, we don't have a whole lot to teach them. Because it's not based on the Bible either. It's called Christian in name only. And we're going to get into that here in a little bit. This is where our discipleship comes in. That they are taught what the foundation of the home should be. The foundation of the home is the blueprint that God has given, His Word. Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 24. Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 24. The pattern that God wants every home, not just ones that want to be dedicated. We have this idea that founding our home on the Word of God is optional. Well, that's all well and good, but you know, I can do it another way. No. There's only one of two foundations that we see given in the Word of God. Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 24. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine. Now, this is Jesus speaking. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon the rock. Okay? So, upon the rock. If you obey the word of God and you obey it, you listen to it, you incorporate it, you live by it, then you're likened unto a wise person. Now, there's only two types of people described in the Bible, in Proverbs and in throughout the Bible. There's always one or the other. It's either the righteous or the wicked. It is the wise and the foolish. The fools are foolish. And the fool does what? We'll look at verse number 26. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. Now, we know sand. There's my thing of sand, okay, right there. We all know that sand doesn't hold up in water very well. Because maybe you can build a house on it. You know what? You can go out to West Texas. You can go out to Arizona. And you know that sand is rock hard. It's like concrete when it dries out, when it gets all padded down. I mean, it's super hard. But guess what? It doesn't matter how hard it seems to be. When it gets wet, it's over. You've been out here. We have a little bit more rain than we usually do this time of year. Things are kind of soggy out here. But guess what? We have Texas clay. Wonderful stuff to dig through when it's bone dry, right? Oh, no, it's not cool. You go out here, you can drive a Mack truck on it. It will not even make an impression in the grass. I mean, we've done that. We drive the bus out all over this lawn. It doesn't even make an indent in the ground when it's super dry out. However, if it rains for a couple of hours, it rains overnight, have one of our thunderstorms, you drive it out there, guess what? That bus is going to be axle deep in mud, just like that. It's not sand, but sand does the exact same thing. And there is something here that, hey, when the weather is good, you know, the sun is shining, you know, everything looks great, you know, the sun's shining down, you know, and we see all of that, and hey, things are going wonderful in life. Guess what? You can have any foundation you want. Nothing bad's going to happen to you, right? But guess what? Life isn't all about sunshine. There are going to be clouds. Wait a minute. There. With rain that comes and the wind's going to blow. That's exactly what the Bible says right here. Verse number 25. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house. Man, this was a storm. Beat upon that house. And it fell not, for it was founded upon the rock. Now, how do you think the man in the sand fared? Oh, he was okay, right? He just had a little bit of storm damage. No. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. So, it wasn't that it just had, you know, a window broken. It wasn't that the blower blew off or the roof was damaged. It was gone. Not there anymore. And you know what happens to people that are in floods? When their house collapses around them? Do they live through it usually? No. Home's not there anymore. You know what? This is sad because there's too many Christian homes that aren't there anymore. Too many. We all know people. Because they didn't found it upon the rock. That's how important, how serious this study is. It's really important. Because if we don't follow the precepts of God's word, then we're placing our home upon the sand. And I don't think any of us as parents or as children or as potential future families, you know, maybe we're not married yet, that you don't want to see that happen. We want to be successful in raising our families. The foundation of the home is the Word of God. Don't be discouraged. Don't believe the lie of the devil. So I can't do it. You can't, but God can help you do it if you follow His Word. Here is the source of all of our wisdom right here. Number two. Here's misconception number two. There's four of them tonight, if you're case warning. So we're all halfway there. Here we go. You have to grow up in a Christian home to have one. I had so many people tell me this when I was in college. Well, you know what? I'm going to have a good Christian home because I grew up in a good home. Well, that sure gives you a leg up, but it doesn't mean you're going to have one. This is another myth that goes along with the previous point, that First generation Christians are doomed to have bad homes, and second and third generation are destined to have good homes. You know what? Some of the worst problems and disasters that I've ever seen in the ministry come from second and third generation homes. In my life, when I was in college, how many of the young people that went off to serve the devil, they came from third and fourth generation Christian homes. But it wasn't because that they grew up in a Christian home. What happened? Because the parents stopped building on the foundation of God's Word. They took for granted the heritage that they had. They took for granted what was taught to them. And they believed the myth that it's somehow some mysterious accident to have a Christian home. It's just an accident that it happens that way. But a Christian home, here's the reality, folks. A Christian home takes planning and work just like anything else. If you want to have a good relationship with God, you got to plan it out. You got to spend time in the Word. Spend time in prayer. Nothing in life happens by accident. Everything has to be done on purpose. We have to make sure that we're building upon that foundation. Now, let's define what a Christian home is. You know, we're using the term Christian home. What does it mean? All right, let's look at Colossians chapter 1 and verse 8. A Christian home has three aspects to it, three pillars, if you will. So we're gonna leave our house here, and we're going to, if you think of three pillars here, maybe you think of like a Parthenon or something like that in Rome. You know, it has a nice, big, ornate base here. Maybe I should have Sarah come up here and draw for me. No. But, you know, it has a nice steps, and then they have those very stately columns, right? And there's one there. It's kind of skinny. We maybe need to make it a little bigger there. So you got these big columns there. And you know the Romans were and the Greeks were masters at making these buildings in balance. That these were made out of marble and different beautiful stones. And they were not bolted together. They were just held there by weight. And they had to be perfectly balanced, perfectly placed. That if any of these columns was missing or cracked or misplaced, when they set the top part on there, it was all going to fall apart and collapse. But the three columns that we see here, so to keep this in your mind, we're going to find the first one in Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 18. Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 18. If I can get over there. Colossians 1:18. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. So the first foundation, the first pillar here is Christ. So Christian home is Christ-centered. That in all things he might have the preeminence, meaning that Christ comes first at home. In any decision about anything, Christ comes first, and what he thinks about that particular decision we find in his word. So that brings us to the second part right here. Look at Hebrews chapter 4:12. We know Hebrews 4:12 very well. Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 12. So that Christ, that the center of the home and the basis of the home, it is Christ-centered. And then the second thing here we see in Hebrews 4:12. Is that, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So then we see here that the second pillar is the Bible. So it's Christ-centered, Bible, hold on, based. Right? Remember, we talked about this foundation. So it's Christ-centered, Bible-based. Okay? And then, the last part of it is so important. Galatians chapter 5 and verses number 16 and 25. And the third being, while you're turning there, is that it is Spirit-led. Now, I'm not talking about some weird, spooky spirit. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit. In that, if we're walking in the Spirit, every Christian home, every decision, everything that we do, everything we allow our children to do, everything we allow in our home, the question needs to be asked, does this bring honor to Christ? You know, it was made very popular a couple of years ago, what would Jesus do, right? And that's really, and it's just like the devil to popularize something to the point where people just, oh, they dismiss it. But really, in our homes, we need to ask this question, what would Jesus have me do in this situation? What would he have me do? Where would he have me go? What should I do with this child? What should I do with this situation? And then you go to the Bible and you base your decision on the Bible, not on what you feel about it. Because you may feel one day today and you'll feel another way tomorrow. Don't base it on how you feel, because why? Our feelings are fickle. And then you go, use Christ-centered, Bible-based, and then Holy Spirit-led, and let the Holy Spirit of God lead you through the Bible and through Christ's power. If you have these three, it makes it very difficult for the devil to get a foothold in your home. Makes it very difficult. Galatians 5, verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Wow, that's an amazing promise. You walk in the Spirit of God, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Verse number 25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another, but what? To walk in the Spirit of God. Now, I'll tell you this. All three of these, you rarely see today. Or I should say it's rare to see this done consistently over long periods of time. I mean, after revival meetings, after we get encouraged in it, I mean, we get back to it. Amen? That's what we do. But to keep it consistent, to keep it going is difficult. Not just for certain people, but for anybody. And that if you commit yourself to these three pillars, the foundation of your home, you are in a good place to see success for the Lord. There's no magic gift or accident. These homes are built on purpose. They're built on purpose. So here we go. Myth number three. Well, some people say, well, if you go to church, then you have a Christian home. I have people tell me that. Well, I go to church, so I have a Christian home. Not necessarily. This goes along with the point that I just looked at. That's another myth. It's very popular today, by the way. If I go to church every once in a while, then trying to keep up or even attending church faithfully, then I have a Christian home. Now, let me answer this question. Is church attendance essential to having a Christian home? Yes. Absolutely yes. Look at Hebrews 10 and verse number 25. Hebrews 10, 25. We have a command of Scripture to be faithful to God's house. And there's reasons for that. Hebrews 10, 25 tells us this. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. And well, trust me, that's the manner of some churches today. They're getting rid of their Sunday night services, their Wednesday night services, and just having one service a week. You know, they're forsaking the assembling themselves together. You know what they say? Well, people aren't coming. Maybe it's because they don't have anything worth coming to hear, maybe. I don't know. But right here, we have, as the manner of some is, but right here, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. What's that day? The day of the coming of the Lord. The last days, and we're in them. We have so many things going on today. So many attacks. I don't think anybody here that was born before 1980 would ever imagine that in the United States of America, gay marriage would be legal. I don't think anybody ever saw that on the horizon. The things that I saw, I wonder what's going to happen in my lifetime when I was 19, 20, like 10, 12 years ago. Things that are happening today, that socialism would be so open in our country and promoted and accepted, and that is gaining power and strength in our country. I mean, I never thought we'd see that day. My mom just told me that the other day. She said, I never thought I'd see the day that communism would have a foothold in our country. These are the things we're facing. And by the way, with communism and socialism, there goes religious freedom. That's why it's a big deal for Christian people. Well, it's an economic problem. No, it's going to become a religious freedom problem very quickly. Because communism and socialism is anti-God by its very nature. So right here, there needs to be a source of Bible teaching. The church is essential, yes. There needs to be a source of Bible encouragement. But just because you go to church does not mean that you apply any of what you learned. Right? We can go to church and we can file it away, but if we don't apply it, it doesn't do us any good. You can get the bricks, but you have to build. You can get the bricks, you can get all of it, but you need to build with it. They want to be a Christian home. They want to be, so I am a Christian home. I have the Bible, but yet they're not a Christian home because mom and dad do not live by the Bible. They're not a Christian home because the kids do not live by the Bible. And really the admonition of James chapter 1. Look over there, James chapter 1. And those of you doing the scripture memorization, that's the passage for next week. Verses 22 through 24. And I love the book of James because it just, the Lord just lays it right where it is. Very, very clear. That if we say, well, I'm a Christian and I want to have a Christian home, but you're a Christian home in name only. You don't have these pillars. You gotta have these pillars. You gotta have this foundation. And the only way you're gonna do it is if you are a doer of the Word of God. Wherefore, let's look here. Verse 22. But be doers of the Word and not hearers only. Deceiving. Interesting word. Deceiving your own selves. It's interesting, that last word, deceiving your own selves. You know what people do? So, well, I'm a good Christian. I go to church. I read my Bible. And I have a Christian home. I don't have to do everything the Bible says. I'm okay. I don't have to do all that God says because I say I have a Christian home and I do some of the things. I try and keep the Ten Commandments. Therefore, I have a Christian home. God's saying, no, don't deceive yourself. It doesn't work that way. If you're not doing what God is commanding, if you're picking and choosing what you want to do, I call it copy and paste Christianity, is that you like to do some of the things that sound good to you that don't go against the things you're involved in or the things that you like to do. But if God's against it, we need to be against it. If God's for it, we need to be for it. And right here, verse number 23, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in the glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. For whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Foundation of the home. How do you have it? You have the foundation of your home based upon the Bible that you hear, the Bible that you read, the Bible that the Holy Spirit of God gives you understanding, and then... But that's where we get. We get there. So, man, we're studying and we get the answer. But then Christians today, they fall down on the execution. They fall down on the doing. Well, that takes work. Right? My generation's allergic to work. Man, as little as possible to get by, that's all we need to do. Guess what? If you're going to have that mentality, you're not going to have a good relationship with God. You're not going to have a good home. You're not going to have good anything. Because anything worth having took work to get. And if you want to have a Christian home that honors God and kids that turn out for God and kids you protect from sin, you better put the work in. Don't get to the end of teenage years or when they're 20 and 21. What happened? I can tell you exactly what happened. God tells you what happened. You didn't put in the work. It takes work. There can be families that are faithful to church. They're in church every service, yet they're far from having a Christian home. Why? Because they do not live by or heed the Word of God. They're not a doer. They're a forgetful hearer. How many remember what you look like in the mirror this morning? Maybe some of you are trying to forget. No. But, really, we don't remember. I don't remember exactly what condition my hair was in or whatever. I just know I had to get ready. I remember... Looking at, I don't even remember what I looked like when I looked in the mirror when I got home from mowing. I just looked in the mirror and we just look at it and we just kind of acknowledge it and we're not real serious about it. But then we just go our way. We forget. And that's what some people do. They come to church and they hear the Word of God and they say amen. And they maybe go down the altar and make a decision, but then they don't intend to follow through on it. They forget all about it by the time they get home. Or by Sunday night or the next sermon. Oh, yeah, that's great. That's great. You know, you can be an eager hearer. You can be saying amen. You know, we don't look at forgetful hearers or those that say just sit there and frown and cross their arms the whole time. They just hear it. Oh, that's great. That's wonderful. And then they just go home. That's why I encourage people to take notes. You don't forget. And you study it. And then you ask the question, God, how can I apply this in my life? What can we do in our home? It's our home in compliance with your word. You know what? We have code enforcement in here in Killeen, right? If you're building a building, guess what? You're going to have the plumbing inspected. You're going to have your electrical inspected. You got to have your fire suppression system. And if you're a business, but you have all of these things. I mean, just yesterday we had the guys coming in. They have to check this out. They had to replace this every year or every 6 months. They had to inspect all of that. They need to go and do all of that. And you know what? If we're not in compliance, they won't let us use the building. They'll say, nope, you can't use it. Now, we have another code enforcement. It's called the Holy Spirit of God. Code enforcement. And comes to your heart and says, hey, you need to fix this because this is a structural problem. And we say, oh, it'll be fine. It'll be fine. Nothing bad is going to happen. And we're going to get into that next couple weeks. Listening to the Holy Spirit of God. The role of the church in the Christian home is foundational. But Luke 21:34, you don't need to turn there. I'll just read it for you. Luke 21:34, and take heed to yourselves. Take heed to yourself. Pay attention to what you're doing. Pay attention to where you're going. Lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. We're talking about this parable of the fig tree right before this, talking about the coming of the Lord. In that when the Lord comes, will we be ready? At that time, it's too late to get your house or it's too late to get your home built upon the Word of God. That's it. You can't wait until your kids are teenage. You can't wait until your kids are 5. You can't wait until your kids are 2. You need to start. Teaching right and wrong. Teaching what the Bible says. But some people ask this question. What is the role of the church in the Christian home? It's foundational. Some people thought, well, why do I have to be faithful to church? You know, why can't I come every once in a while? You know, I get enough of my Bible. Why do I need to be in church Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night? Well, no one said you had to be. Let me ask you a question. People say, well, why? Why do I need to be? Here's the question. Why not? Why not? Why is it... Do you really think that we are strong enough to stand in this world on our own? Because if we lived our life any length of time, been saved any length of time, guess what? We realize that we live in an evil world, an evil place, and God's house is a place of refuge and protection and encouragement. Why not? That's the wrong question to ask. And it shows something that's in the heart. Because... You know, let's bring it into the family, okay? And, you know, the Bible says that it's a shame for a man to have long hair. So, you know, you got your son, you know, he's got his hair, you know, down to here. Now, so he's got a little longer hair. So, hey, time to get your hair cut. And I was like, well, how long is long? I don't think it's long. Show me in the Bible so I can measure it. When it gets too long, I can cut it. That's the wrong question to ask. The wrong question to ask is, oh, I need to make sure that my hair is the right length so I'm not an offense to God. So I need to cut it. If people are asking the question, then it's too long. Right? That's how we're to think. Because the other, well, how long? I'm going to measure it. Then when it gets that point, that's rebellion. That's taking it to the edge as far as you can. And there's too many homes that take it to the edge that they can. Instead of just doing, you know what, we need to stay away from the edge. Because guess what? Everybody slips. Everybody slides. Everybody doesn't get it all right all the time. Give yourself some room to slip. Don't plan to, because then you're really going to be in a mess. But give yourself some room there. We are stewards of our children and of God's Word. 1 Corinthians 4:2, moreover, is required of stewards that a man be found faithful. And church is going to teach you how to rightly divide the word of truth, how to rightly divide God's word. All right. Actually, I didn't look at the time. I'm actually doing pretty good on time already. All right, here we go. I promise to be done by 8 o'clock, so here we go. We're getting into the last point here, but I want to read this one verse and then we'll continue the next point. 2 Timothy 2:15. This is the responsibility of every Christian, of every parent. 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to shew thyself approved unto God. Now, approved unto who? Not unto me. Not unto Tabernacle Baptist Church. Not unto your parents. Not unto anybody else. But unto God. What does this mean? Christ-centered. Be approved unto God. Not unto your favorite preacher. Not unto your favorite book. Not unto anything else. But the Word of God in Christ. Study to shew thyself approved unto God. You know what that means? That God's going to test you on what you know about His Word. He's going to give you a test. 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to shew thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, let's think for a moment. If you're working a job, and you're especially trained in this one job, and you've done your work, and you paid attention during college, you paid attention pretty much on the job training. You know, you did have that safety video that one time. You know, everyone loves the safety video, right? Ever watch a safety video at like work a warehouse job or anything like that? Okay, the safety video. You know, if there's a hazardous spill, you know, don't touch it. You know, don't go lick it. You know, they do all that nice stuff. You know, when you go do that. And they give you a little thing. Did you listen to it? You know, and then you're sitting there. I remember the first time I did it, I was at college, and I was looking at it, and, you know, these other guys had been through it like three times. They're literally in the back, go, I mean, they're going to sleep. They don't care. I mean, I'm sitting up like, hey, man, I'm taking notes on, okay, don't touch acid. You know, just the things like that. Those are like one of those common sense videos that if you have common sense, you don't need to worry about it. But you know what? Hey, I was concerned about it. And you know, you watch that video, and you get on your job, and then you have the president of the company, and he comes down, and he asks you a question about your piece of machinery or about your job, but you didn't pay attention in school, you didn't pay attention to the safety briefing, and he asks you a question, and you don't have an answer. And he says, you're fired. And then you're what? Ashamed. That's what it's talking about here. That when God comes to you and you come to the test, guess what? There's going to be things that beat upon this house. There's going to be things that happen. There's going to be tests that come. And I don't think we ever want to hear those words that the Lord's disappointed in us. You know the parable of the servants, that wicked and unfaithful servant. But we want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well done in protecting your children and raising them. We want to hear that. Number four, if you read your Bible, then you have a Christian home. Once again, it's connected with the previous point we just looked at. This is a myth that if you read your Bible every day, that you have a Christian home. Now, it's a great thing. We need to read our Bible every day. Some people believe having a Bible in their home, that is, there's some protecting power in it, that if they have it on the coffee table, then it's like putting a hedge of protection around the home. And that just having it there, having it in the bedroom, having it in different places, that's like a rabbit's foot. That it keeps your house blessed. Doesn't work that way. It only protects your home if you use it. It's a sword. You need to use it in order to protect your home. That's not what the Bible is. You need to do what it says. You need to study and apply it. Here's what God's Word says about itself. Look at Psalm 119. Psalm 119. We're going to go pretty quickly through some verses here. Psalm 119, verse 105. Verse 105 of Psalm 119. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Now, how many of you would agree in a poll here tonight that the world is a dark place? You'd agree with that. It's a dark place. A lot of darkness there. So, where does our light come from? It doesn't come from our knowledge. It doesn't come from psychology. It doesn't come from any other place except the Word of God. It said, thy Word is a lamp unto my feet. So I can see where to go. So I can have a basis of what I need to do. That's the light. It's the only light we have. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. What does He say about those who follow Him? Shall not walk in darkness. If you want to have light, then you got to go to the Word of God. verses 1 through 5 of Psalm 119. Let's go back to verses 1 through 5. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. They don't walk outside, but they walk in it. They do it. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. They don't live a life of sin. They don't mess up. They don't fall. They stay where God wants them to stay. Thou hast commanded us to keep Thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep Thy statutes! Exclamation point. This was the desire of David's heart, that he would not make a mistake. But you know, David did. Why? He got out of the way of the precepts of God's law. He stepped away, and sin was right there. Verses 9 through 12. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Scripture memorization. Hide it in your hearts. Verse 12. Blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me thy statutes. Is that our prayer every day? Lord, teach me something new. I need something new. Will you teach it to me? If we have that desire when we have it in our church and when we're reading our Bible every day, man, we're going to see God do something in our life and in our heart. We're going to see a miraculous transformation. Deuteronomy 26, verse number 16. Deuteronomy 26, verse 16. This day the Lord thy God hath commanded thee to do these statutes and judgments. Thou shalt therefore keep and do them with all thine heart and with all thy soul. That was the command to Israel. Follow my law, and the blessings would come. One other verse here. Joshua chapter 1, verse number 8. You don't need to turn there. I'll read it to you. Joshua 1, 8. Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. We all want to be successful. I don't think any of us in here, when we start out a project to do, that we enjoy failing at it. That's not human nature. Human nature, we want to be successful. We want to do a good job. And I would hope that we here tonight would want to do a good job in having a relationship with God. That we would want to do a good job in raising our families and raising our children, to see them grow up and to love and serve God and to serve their community. We want to see that. But if you don't do any, don't plan it on purpose, it won't happen. It's not a magic lottery to see these things happen. There is prescribed outcomes. That I was listening to a preacher the other day, and he goes, you know, we don't need to judge other people. We don't need to condemn other people. We need to show them the error of their way, but not think you're better than they are. He said, you know, we can sob with them, we can pray with them, but you can't change the outcome of what they're doing. It's set. God said it. God's laws are unchangeable. If you do that which is right, you will be blessed. If you sin, you will be judged and condemned by the Lord. The outcomes cannot be changed. A good and godly Christian home, that mom and dad pray together and study the Word of God together and train their children together and keep their children in church, that lays a foundation to build a house that God can honor. But if you don't, these aren't there. Can't just have one. Can't just have two. Got to have all three. Well, we don't have that. Your building won't be successful. And that's the sad truth. If you want to have a Christian home, then you're going to have to work hard. Studying God's Word. Study to choose thyself approved unto God. You're going to have to do work hard memorizing, applying God's Word, meditating upon God's Word, teaching God's Word to your family and to your children, illustrating God's Word to every single person in your home. And this job falls primarily to dad. To men. It also falls to mom too. But right here, the most important person in your family's life is not the pastor. The most important person in your family's life is not the Sunday school teacher, not the team director. It's dad and mom. Too often we have this culture in America that parents say, it's not my job to teach my children the Bible. That's pastor's job. That's the teen group's job. That's the Sunday school teacher's job. That's the Christian school's job. It's not my job. You're wrong. It's God's given job of mom and dad. And that's why when the teens fall and fail and they go get out of church because of this mentality, who do they blame? They blame the preacher. They blame the teen director. They blame the Sunday school teacher. They blame, oh, we must not have heard the right thing. No, you heard it. You just didn't do it. We've seen too much of that in our circle. We've seen too much of it. We don't need to see it. And that's what this study is for. This was burned upon my heart. I've seen too much of it. And you can fix it here. Here's the conclusion. Let me ask you a question. Do you want a Christian home? Do you want one? I think all of us, if I took a poll, don't raise your hand, say, I absolutely do. I want a Christian home. I want a Christ-centered home. I want a Bible-based home. I want a Spirit-led home. I want that. Question number two. During the next 6 weeks, you're going to be taught tools and precepts to have a Christian home that God wants you to have. Here's the question. Will you do something tonight? If we could all bow our heads and close our eyes tonight, this is a solemn time with the Lord. So here, this isn't just free information whether you can decide to take it away or not. And that's true. I can't make anybody do any of these things. All I can do is give it to you and encourage you in it and show you some things, that resources, and show you what God's Word says. But ultimately, the decision's up to you. Will you do something tonight? Here's number one. That you'll commit to change whatever God tells you to change. Whatever God tells you to change, whatever in His Word you know you need to change in your home, that you will do it, no questions asked. Because we know God is wiser than we are, and His Word is perfect, and we know that God has our best interest at heart, and He wants us to do right. He wants our children to make it, that you'll commit to change whatever God tells you to change. Second question, will you commit to be faithful to God's house so that you can continue to grow in the most sacred responsibility that God has given to every family, and that is raising children, that you're going to be faithful to God's house every service? Because this can only help you so much. But if you get in God's house faithfully, it will help you in an amazing way. The third thing, will you commit to reading your Bible and praying every day as a family? The pastor, I have no idea how to do that. We have some resources, and actually it's a lot easier than you might think. Start in the Proverbs, reading a few verses a day. Wow, you want wisdom? There's where you're going to get wisdom. Just read a few verses and pray and ask the Lord to open your heart and your mind. Have some family devotion time. Mom and dad, have some time reading your Bible and praying every day together. Number four. This goes along with number one. That whatever God teaches you from His Word, you'll commit to obeying it completely. No questions asked. Lord, I'm going to do it. I don't need to understand why. I'm not going to ask why. I'm just going to do it. If you have those four areas in your life and you make that commitment tonight, that's what I'm going to do, God will bless this time over the next 6 weeks. It'll change your life. It'll change your home. It'll change your kids. It will transform everything. I promise you it will. And it's not my promise. It's the promise of God. But if you can come here during the next 6 weeks, and you can come and you can listen, and you can say, well, I'll see what if I like what I hear. You'll like some things that you hear. You'll hear some things you don't like to hear. well, I'm just going to apply the things I like to hear. That's great, but it won't work. You're going to build a lopsided foundation, and your house is going to fall. Make a decision tonight. Commit to it. So I'm going to work at it. I'm going to do the best that I can. And don't make a commitment to me. I don't want you to raise pastor. That's what I'm going to do. You tell the Lord. It doesn't ultimately, it doesn't matter what you commit to me. But what you commit to the Lord is a sacred thing, and it's a very important thing. And so in a moment, I'm going to close in prayer. While I'm praying, will you take some time with the Lord in your seat and pray to the Lord yourself, not out loud, but quietly in your heart, and make a commitment to the Lord that you're going to do all that He asks you to do, that you want to build the right foundation and build your home the right way. Maybe some of you say, well, Pastor, I've already founded my home on the Word of God. Praise God. Keep going. Keep going. You're going to be reminded about some things. You're going to be challenged with some things. And let the Lord show you where maybe there's some areas where there's a crack in the foundation. Maybe there's something that needs to be a little sharpened, a little change, a little cleanup here, or a little change there. Let the Lord show you that those things, and that'll make your home even stronger and sweeter in the Lord. We shouldn't give any place for the devil to get in. So tonight, take a few moments and bring that to the Lord. Let's pray together.